Good day, good people. I'm Brother Robert Farrell. Welcome to Contemplative Interbeings Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us any Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central. That way you too can become part of the conversation that happens at the end. Whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying the recording, thank you for being part of Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom is really about knowing with more of you. It's not knowing more. It's knowing deeper. And Wisdom Wednesday is an invitation to open to the depths of yourself, your intellect, your will, your emotions, your senses, to really open to the ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of the heart and human consciousness. Today we're going to encounter two brief wisdom contemplations, and each one of those is going to be followed by a minute or so of silence, where you're invited into the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. To resonate, does something connect with you? Take a moment to really look for it. It might be symbolized by a word or a phrase that you hear. To reflect on it, to ponder deeply, to meditate with images and thoughts. To respond, you can respond in any way you like, such as prayer or journal or body movement or art or rest. To simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. After that, we'll share a spiritual practice like we like to do each week, and then we'll enter into a period of dialogue together. So take a deep, gentle breath, and with an open heart and a calm, centered presence, see if we can't connect and listen with our hearts. This is the prophetic path, love and liberation. Friends, the prophets were often ordinary individuals bestowed with a unique gift, and they embody a different kind of insight. And it wasn't really predicting. Rather than predicting, they share a profound truth with passionate foresight. They are seers perceiving deeply. And their strength lies in judging the present through the lens of the future, a future that God guides us toward. Impatient with the current state of affairs, their anger stems from knowing what could be. And these prophets hold an eschatological perspective, embracing God's ultimate dream for the world. Their vision infuses them with both passion and sorrow, fueling their quest for change. They illuminate the broader path, imbuing history with purpose and direction. And in a world often viewed as cyclical, they offer a vital sense of progress. So without the prophetic voice, existence risks losing its meaning, spiraling into a purposeless existence. The prophet's call elevates religion beyond a mere endorsement of the status quo. So as we reflect on these prophetic insights, we are challenged to see beyond the present and glimpse the potential of a future that's guided by divine purpose. How does the concept of prophets perceiving deeply and judging the present through the lens of the future inspire you to view your own life's challenges and decisions? We look at the Old Testament story and we peer through the eyes and heart of Miriam on the shores of the Red Sea. A sense of wonder envelops us. The rising waters, suspended fish, and Miriam's kin walking through the parted sea, that evokes awe and reverence. And it is as if we are forging a new covenant with the divine, traversing a mystery path aligned with the sacred. And you hear Miriam's chant, her mother's lullabies echo in our hearts. The horse and rider will fall into the sea. That chant binds us in shared faith. Miriam's longing for God unites us in recognizing the divine's uniqueness. And standing by Miriam, we feel the enormity as walls release and chariots crash, a reminder of life's ebb and flows, where liberation follows transformation. Miriam, a prophetess, leads us to a solemn place by the sea. Empty tables, fallen widows, and Miriam's whispered promise encapsulate human empathy. Turning to fellow women, we are invited to mourn together, preventing hardened hearts. Then a shift occurs. Miriam's leadership guides celebration. Crackling campfires, dancing flames, and drumbeats fill the night. We join the song, channeling those liberation lyrics, an enduring expression of collective spirit and joy. Miriam's legacy becomes ours, a testament to our deeds' ripple effect. And like her anthems of freedom and our actions, they resonate across generations. Because it's not just Miriam's story, it is ours, a wisdom guiding our journey of faith, compassion, celebration, and liberation. Friends, the prophets were both radicals and traditionalists. They were radical believers in God and radical lovers of God's people. They were radical traditionalists. And they reminded their people of God's faithfulness to their covenant. And they called them to be faithful to the God who gave it to them. The prophetic gift demands two seemingly opposite things, radical traditionalism and shocking iconoclasm at the same time. To put together opposites such as radical and traditional, that demands a level of human maturity, groundedness, spiritual intelligence, and a readiness not to be liked, and a willingness to be persecuted. The prophets, past and present, they call us into the experience of God's love, which radically alters our vision of ourselves and our outlook on life. Too often we are concerned about petty things that in the end don't really matter. And what the prophets are saying is this: let God do something good for us. Let God lead. So enter into the experience of God's presence and love. We shouldn't be surprised if we find ourselves falling in love with our tradition and wanting to radically change the way things are. Entering into the vision and love of God, it alters our perception of reality. So as we think about our perception and we enter into silent contemplation, let us spend that time to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Let's take a moment, friends, and I want to share with you a reflection about Catherine of Siena. When everything in the world around her was in chaos, in both church and state, Catherine of Siena refused to buy for herself an easy reprieve. Catherine of Siena called the terrible, terrible, and the ungodly, ungodly, and in that act, calls every century after her, yet still and always, to do the same. Today still, Catherine of Siena pours fire and ice into the human soul. And it was the Jesus of her vision who responded, "All things are possible for God who has created everything from nothing." I know that you say this from humility, but you must know that in these days, pride has grown monstrously among men, and chiefly among those who are learned and think they understand everything. I have chosen unschooled women, fearful and weak by nature, but trained by me in the knowledge of the divine, so that they may put vanity and pride to shame. Catherine of Siena calls men to recognize the God-given mission of women, affirmed by Jesus, enshrined in the Gospels, and confirmed by the history of women in the church. And she calls women to refuse rejections, to demand equality, to speak their spirituality, to give their God-given gifts, whether these gifts are called for or not, called holy or not, legitimated or not, because no one, not even the church, has the right to deny the gifts of God or the God who works through the gifts of women. Personal sacrifice, gospel insight, Christian feminism, and patient prophetism is the legacy that's forwarded to the 21st century, thanks to Catherine of Siena. At the center of the prophet's ministry is their awareness of the transcendent God who is above all things and yet within all things. The prophet's consciousness is filled with that awareness of God's presence, a presence which is inescapable once you become attuned to it. God is loving them to life. God is loving them, calling them, and drawing them to God's own heart. God's call to life was, and at the same time, God's call to life was, and at the same time, a call to love. And drawn into the love of God, prophets love their own people and with clear insight see that living in the love that is God implies hospitality to strangers, charity to the poor, justice for the oppressed. And friends, life is always three steps forward and two steps back. It gets the point and loses it or doubts it. And our job is to see where the three steps forward are heading. And invariably that's toward mercy, forgiveness, inclusion, nonviolence, and trust. And that gives us the ability to clearly recognize and understand those two steps backwards, which are usually about vengeance and divine pettiness, law over grace, form over substance, and technique over relationship. The insight is the love of God experienced and lived. The experience of God's love is an experience of grace. It's an experience of overwhelming beauty and unbelievable mercy. It is a gift of forgiveness, approval, and acceptance. And to live in that love means to live in grace. To be gracious and merciful to others. And it means extending to them forgiveness and approval and acceptance. It even means loving our enemies. In the silence, we're offered an opportunity to bask and bathe in an experience of grace and beauty and love, forgiveness. So let's do that now as we resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. So friends, how is it that we do this that the prophets keep inviting us into, the experience of grace? Well, one way we do it is by giving grace. We seem to tend to want to receive it, but we receive it so much more in the giving of it. And so our spiritual practice this week is the practice GRACE. It comes from the Buddhist teacher Joan Halifax. It's about how we can discern with and on behalf of others in a collaborative way, in a prophetic way. So this practice, GRACE, is an acronym. G, gather attention. R, recall our intention. A, attune to self and then other. C, consider what will serve. And E, engage and end. Let me unpack that a little bit for you and see if it's something that you can use in the coming weeks. G, gather attention. This G in grace is a reminder for us to pause and give ourselves time to get grounded. As we breathe in and out, and on the inhale, we gather our attention. And on the exhale, we drop our attention into the body, sensing into a place of stability in the body. And the R of grace is recalling our intention. We recall our commitment to act with integrity and respect the integrity of those whom we encounter. We remember that our intention is to serve others and to open our heart to the world. The A in grace refers to the process of attunement to self and other. In the self-attunement process, we bring attention to our physical sensations, our emotions, and thoughts, all of which can shape our attitudes and behavior towards others. And from this base of self-attunement, then we attune to others, sensing without judgment into their experience. And then we can really engage our capacity for empathy. Then C is to consider what will serve. We ask ourselves, what is the wise and compassionate path here? What is the most loving thing I can do or say in this moment? We are present for the other as we sense into what might serve them. We don't have to advise or fix. We let those insights rise, noticing what the other might be offering in this moment. And then E. The first phase of the E in grace is to ethically engage and act, if appropriate. Compassionate action emerges from the field we have created of openness, connection, and discernment. So, again, gather attention. Recall our intention, attune to ourself and then to another, consider what will serve. What is the most loving thing I can do or say in this moment? And then engage, if appropriate, with compassionate action. I hope that you find this useful on your spiritual path. And at this point, we say goodnight to our YouTube and podcast listeners, and thank you for tuning in. And we hope you'll join us live here in Crowdcast. That way you can become part of the dialogue that happens next. But until then, please remember that love is the way, that you are love. So stay awesome and be love. We look forward to seeing you again soon.